You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today is going to be a short show. I have an other appointment that I have to go to, so it'll probably be about 30 minutes, more or less. But before I get into the show, I have an announcement. Tuesday's show has been preempted by the monthly first Tuesday of the month of our Board of Trustees for the Dallas County Community College District. We broadcast it for the entire district on KDUX Web Radio, and I believe it starts at 1 o'clock tomorrow and goes through 5, so my show has been preempted. I won't be giving a show, which works out fine for me because I had another appointment Wednesday that I have to prepare for, but I won't be on the air Tuesday and probably be a short show Wednesday as well. I'm going to continue talking about the story in Dallas, Texas, and really the story across the United States as well as the world, and that is what I'm calling the Ebola Dallas strain. The Ebola Dallas strain, or EDS for short. And the reason I'm calling it that, you need a name for what the problem is. And the problem is we have a virus that is apparently mutated several times, and people are not treating it with respect. And that's the only thing. Either they know what the dangers from it and not telling the American people, or they simply are ignorant of how deadly this virus is. It has a mortality rate of between 50 to 90%, depending on the strain of the virus. 50 to 90%. Let me put that in perspective. Yellow fever is a very deadly disease, and it kills 10% of the people on average that encounter it. There's another virus, Marburg's virus, that's deadly. It's kind of a kissing cousin, if you will, of the Ebola virus, and it kills 25%. Now, in some places, it's higher or lower, but it was a very deadly virus. This virus, the Ebola Dallas strain, and we don't know yet what the results will be. The results are not in, because this is spreading across the world. It has already crossed 5 or 6 or maybe 7 nations where you have reported cases already. Yes, most of them are in West Africa, but do I need to remind you there is airliners going to throughout Africa picking up passengers every day? And you have just in Africa, you have regional as well as local airliners that are moving passengers around. Usually they're full. In other words, what's different today than from the earliest breakouts of this virus, the early cases were in rural areas of Africa along the Ebola River. That's where it gets its name. And it was deadly. It killed hundreds of people. Today, it's already killed upwards of 3,500 people, and it's just getting started. And that's the point. You haven't seen anything yet, and I hope it burns out. I don't particularly want to see a worldwide pandemic. Now, you've probably heard the expression epidemic, where you have, for example, let's say the flu in the United States, and we usually have flu season in the winter, where it spreads all over the United States. But a pandemic means the virus is spread all over the world. And it's fast approaching that. And I think part of the problem is there's a general ignorance. Ignorance on a part of most people know little or nothing about this virus. little or nothing about this virus. Now, I normally don't recommend reading a book, and I read a lot of books, but I really am not. I don't review books. I don't have authors on, although if I had the opportunity, I certainly would have this author on. But I am going to recommend two books. One is The Hot Zone by Richard Preston. Now, this book, I need to point out, was written, came out about 20 years ago. But it's about the Ebola virus. And at that time, we had a situation in Ruston, Virginia, where infected monkeys were imported into the United States, and they were dying of Ebola. And what happened is several of the people working there got sick. Fortunately, it didn't kill those workers. It did kill many of the monkeys, and ultimately they were all destroyed. For the simple reason, the virus went airborne, and that's a very, very important point. What the authorities are telling you today, Centers for Disease Control, local officials, state officials, is you have to have direct contact with the person that has the disease. In other words, if you touch their blood, their perspiration, if they sneeze in your face or cough in your face, you may come down with disease. As a matter of fact, most people, probably the highest risk people today, are the healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, anyone that comes in contact with someone that has the Ebola virus. Because it's deadly, folks. And the best way to describe this virus, you are its meal. It is eating you. It attacks the tissues in your body, the organs in your body. And ultimately, you bleed out, which means you're bleeding internally. And all your orifices, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, any sores, it's just bleeding. It's eating your brain. It's eating the tissue. It's attacking organs. Why? It's hungry. You're its meal. Yummy, yummy. Now, it has a problem. It knows, ultimately, it's going to run out of food. So what does it need to do? It needs to find another person. It needs to jump to another person. And there is the challenge. Now, what you need to understand, there are many viruses today that are airborne. The common call you get in the winter during flu season, usually from about this time in up into through the spring, depending on the temperatures where it's cold, people start getting the flu, the cold. And many of the symptoms of that flu are the early symptoms of Ebola, namely fevers, chills, headaches, body aches, fever. Those are the common symptoms of anyone that has the flu. Also coughing. And see, that is the problem. The other problem is, if you've ever had the flu, and I've had it several times, is doctors really can't provide you anything to, there's no cure for the flu. There's no cure. And that's what you need to understand. Yeah, the doctor can provide you some supportive care, namely to bring down the fever, or basically deal with the symptoms, bring down your fever. But a lot of that, you could go to your drugstore over the counter and buy the medicine that at least deal with some of the symptoms. But there's no cure. There's no medicine you can take that's going to make you well. It's not like a bacterial infection that you can use antibiotics on. Now, here's the important point, and here's what you're really not being told. And you need to be told, and you need to understand this. And I've been puzzling and thinking, well, why aren't they telling you this? What they're not telling you is Ebola has mutated and is now an airborne virus. In other words, when someone sneezes or vomits or has diarrhea and droplets get in the air, like someone could sneeze or cough, you get rather small droplets. And in those droplets, that is the way Ebola can spread from one person to another, just like the common flu. And that's what they're not saying. They're saying, well, you have to, if only if you have direct contact. It's like you have to go out of the way and visit this guy in Presbyterian Hospital, Mr. Duncan, Thomas E. Duncan, and touch his blood or shake his hand or he sneezed in your face to get it. That's the impression they're trying to leave with you. You have to proactively go out of your way and directly contact this person to get the disease. And it is a disease. It's a deadly disease. Because usually within 30 days, one or two things are going to happen. You're lucky. You're one of the lucky ones. And at best, that's about a 50-50 proposition. Or you're dead. And people that have studied this know it. Remember, they've been studying this virus for decades. And it scares people. It scares the very people that are experts on this because it's so deadly. And in Ruston, Virginia, and this the hot zone goes through the story, I'm not going to tell you, well, it does have a happy ending. Namely, it didn't go from human to human, but it did go from monkey to monkey. And it went from monkey, not because they all had direct contact. The suspicion was, and I think it's a valid one, it was transmitted through the air, through the circulating system. You see, what you should be highly suspect of, you have trained medical people, doctors, nurses, support staff, that suit up, get in these suits that are supposedly going to protect them from coming into direct contact with the patients that they're dealing with. In other words, if you follow the protocol, dress in the material in these suits, you shouldn't get the disease. They're wearing goggles, they're wearing masks, they're wearing hoods. And you've seen it on television. But here's the problem. Most of them are not wearing what I'm going to shorthand say is a spacesuit, where the oxygen that they're breathing is, they're carrying it on their back. They're not doing that. They can't afford it, and B, they're not doing it. Now, why is that important? Medical personnel are dying. That's no secret. That's happening across West Africa. In other words, they're taking all the precautions, and they're still coming down with the disease, getting symptoms, the severe symptoms of the disease, and many of them, unfortunately, are dying. With the best of intentions, and I salute their heroic efforts, they're dying. They're trying to stop the disease. They're trying to help the people in West Africa that have come down with the disease. But after taking all those precautions, they still are dying. Now, why do you think that's happening? How is it getting in their body? If they're not directly touching, in other words, their skin, their eyes, it loves eyes, by the way. That's one area, and it might not directly go to the eye. You touch some blood and then touch your eyes, it's in you, and guess what? You're the next meal. Because the virus wants to propagate itself, wants to live. The virus has the same motivations humans have. They want to live. A long, productive life, and to live means they have to jump or go from one human being, one meal, to the next meal. That's what this is about, and it's deadly. I mean, I could turn to a page in this book, The Hot Zone, and just describe the symptoms. It would gross you out. It eats your brain. It destroys your organs, and you bleed to death. But that, it doesn't matter what they say the cause of death is. It's the virus doing this. There are many causes of death. I'm afraid this patient in Presbyterian Hospital might not make it for the simple reason, a report I heard is he has kidney problems. His kidney is failing, and that is one of the organs that this virus goes after, your kidneys. So you can't process your urine. Now, the reason I've come back to this story is I said to myself, listen, if I can find out this information, that this, listen, I think most people that even have a casual knowledge of viruses know they mutate. They do that to survive. They're constant. Think of this. It's a self-improvement program for viruses. They mutate. And what they're trying to do is go to other species, make the jump from monkeys to humans. And remember, we have 7 billion humans. So there's a lot of meals out there. We're meals on wheels. As far from a virus point of view, Dallas is a meal-rich environment. We have over 1 million people living in Dallas, but one of the cities in Nigeria, the capital, has 21 million people in one city. And see, that's what's new about this. This virus now is in major cities in West Africa and now in the United States. And it can be transmitted through the air, just like the viruses, the common calls that you get during the flu season. That's what our leadership, our president, our governor, our mayor are not telling you. They're trying to weasel word it. Well, you have to come in direct contact. I'll tell you why that's a weasel word. The virus is trying to contact you. He's trying to reach out and touch you. He's trying to go into your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your skin. And if he gets in, you're in a world of hurts. You will most likely die. The odds are against you. Now, there's a judge, and I don't have television at home, so I don't watch television at all at home. I don't watch, the only time I watch, and it's really not much, watch any television is when I go in the newsroom of the Richland Chronicle. And occasionally I'll see a newscast, but I generally don't watch newscasts. It's just snippets. But I was hearing over and over on talk shows over this weekend, as well as this morning, about a Dallas judge, a Dallas County Commissioner's Court. It's not like a courtroom. They sort of like run the county, if you will. There's a judge called Clay Jenkins, and I have never heard him or seen him until about an hour ago when I pulled up some YouTube videos, which I need to point out. To listen to this show, but to also get a lot of access to the videos, my notes, and information that I have for each show, you go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S dot wordpress.com. And if you do that, at the very top, you'll have links to the last 60 to 80 shows. In between, you'll have all my notes. For example, I have the cover of a book that I'm recommending, and that's just one of the books I'm recommending. The other one is, and this is probably, read The Hot Zone first. That will pique your interest and I think will increase your concern. It certainly will increase your knowledge of how dangerous this is and why you should be concerned, and every American, every human on the planet should be concerned about this. That's how dangerous this is, because this can easily spread from country to country to country. I think we're on the verge, or are probably past the tipping point of a worldwide pandemic, where not thousands are killed, but millions are killed. Why? Today, unlike past centuries, we have air travel. There are thousands, tens of thousands of flights every day across the United States and across the world. People travel. They're going from one city to the other. And if this Ebola virus is truly airborne, and I think it definitely is, because what I'm reading says it is, the public authorities don't want to tell you that because they don't want to scare you. They want you to think that you literally have to touch the blood, the vomit, the liquids of bodily fluids of a person. In other words, have physical contact with it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. People get the colds every day and get the flu from people that they never touch. Why? You have very, very, very small droplets of moisture that carry the flu that you can't see and really can't stop. And it comes into your nose, your mouth, and within a period of time, before you know it, you have the flu. Sometimes it's very simple. Your children or you sneeze where your children are close by, and they get it that way. That's why it's very dangerous, this virus, for people that are living in the same apartment with someone that has it. And this gentleman has it. That has been confirmed by the Center for Disease Control. But once it's confirmed, you have to assume that people that, as a minimum, have had contact with them are potential carriers of this flu. Remember, this gentleman flew on 3 airline flights. One from Liberia to Belgium, one from Belgium to Dulles, and from Dulles to Dallas-Fort Worth. And on the way, he obviously interact with passengers, flight attendants, people checking in. And also, when he got to Dallas, probably took a taxi if someone didn't pick him up. And whoever picked him up, whether it's a taxi or someone came to get him, they were in the same car with him. And see, what they don't really know is, when does the Ebola virus become active in the body? We know there's an incubation period between 2 to 3 days minimum to 21 days or 3 weeks, where the medium is around 10 days. Now here, that's what they know. What they don't know is when, during that incubation period, does the virus go live? In other words, you got it, fella. In other words, think of it as full blown. You're going to get the serious symptoms. First, you're going to get the flu-like symptoms, and then you're going to get the deadly symptoms that most people don't survive. Some do. There have been cases where people are bleeding in the eyes, bleeding from the nose, bleeding from the mouth, and suddenly do recover. Those are the lucky ones. But many people don't. And the Ebola, and I need to apologize on several of my past shows. I know it's Ebola, no doubts about it. But occasionally I make it plural, which is my stupid mistake. Bad on me. But the Ebola virus, when is it starts to get deadly and then can be spread through airborne transmission, they have no clue as to when. Nobody does, because it's very dangerous to do research with this. They have special labs where you literally have to wear spacesuits, the equivalent of a spacesuit, to deal with this. And then it's still dangerous because your gloves, your suit could be penetrated by a knife or a rip. If you're dealing with animals, they could tear at it and rip it, and then you could become infected. And they're dealing with blood and bodily fluids. They're doing what medical researchers do. And the problem is, if they do have an accident, they can come down with it. And that's a point that needs to be made. In the probably the most dangerous place to go, and I debated whether to say this, but it needs to be said. When Ebola first broke out many years ago in the 70s in rural Africa, what did the people do? They went to their local clinic or hospital, and the medical personnel there didn't know what they were dealing with. It sounded like the flu, and they're not the most sanitary conditions, where needles, for example, that you use for vaccinations are not sterilized and are repeatedly used, maybe 100 times every day. So what was happening is the hospitals and the medical personnel were spreading the virus. That's one of the reasons it was very deadly. And guess who died? Most of the people that were on the medical staff, doctors, nurses, nuns, a lot of them are church-related, they died a tragic death. But they were spreading it. And see, what most people do if they're seriously sick, they go to the hospital. The problem is, once you start getting a number of Ebola cases, and the person walks in, he's going to have contact with many of the people in the staff, in the waiting rooms, and they in turn can become infected. In other words, it's a very infectious disease. It's deadly, folks. So I wanted to first urge you all, as part of your homework, read The Hot Zone. Read The Hot Zone. And then I have a number of videos about what's going on in Dallas. Now, the reason I mention this judge, he went into the apartment where this gentleman was staying to talk to the people that were there and ultimately escort him to another home, a gated community, a house. Someone provided, I believe it's a religious leader, provided a house where the mother, her son, and two nephews could go and live while they're in the quarantine period. That's good intentions. But see, good intentions are not enough. Why? He wasn't wearing any protective clothing at all. No goggles, no mask, no breathing apparatus, no boots. He just walked in with, I think, one or two of his coworkers, talked to the person, and left, and I believe they subsequently took him by car to wherever this home is. What's the problem with that? That whole apartment is what's called a hot zone. It has the body fluids of the Ebola victim that's in Presbyterian Hospital. In other words, this so-called judge, with the best of intentions, and I'm giving the doubt on that because I think this gentleman has a political agenda, ignorantly, and I would say stupidly as well, could be spreading the disease to his own family and others in the community. Listen, good intentions are commendable, but results count. And one potential real result of what this person did is become a carrier of that virus, maybe the next meal of this virus. It's that dangerous, folks. And I believe truly, based on everything I've researched, this is an airborne virus. What you don't know is how long it can stay outside of the body before it destructs. For example, sunshine kills this virus fairly quickly if it's outside of the body. But this was a confined apartment where the Ebola patient was living and got sick in. And thank God, subsequently, the crew that went in to clean it out and tear out the carpet wore the protective gear. But that may not have been enough. Why? They didn't have spacesuits on or self-contained breathing apparatus. They were breathing the air in that apartment. They could potentially become carriers and spread it to other people. And the way the so-called Center for Disease Control is trying to limit the spread is what's called a contact system. Now, what's the they want to know who that the Ebola patient contacted. Now, what's the problem with that? This gentleman from going to Liberia to Dallas probably, and I'll be very conservative here, probably had contact with somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people. In other words, all the passengers on those airlines, some of the people in every airport, the transportation to and from the airport, at least 500 people, probably 1,000. The Center for Disease Control is going to contact all these people? You see, that's the problem. Once it goes airborne, and it is airborne, this contact system doesn't work because more people are in contact in it. You don't have enough people to contact all the potential contactors. In other words, it's false security. Yeah, it's wise if someone, for example, was living in an apartment to definitely put the people in the apartment in quarantine. No one's arguing that they shouldn't do that. But when you have supposedly this gentleman is a politician, but he has a public office, cavalierly goes into this apartment with some of his coworkers because he doesn't want them to feel uncomfortable. Forget about political correctness and uncomfortable. You're dealing with a deadly disease that wants to kill you, and you are becoming a potential carrier of it. You know, my reaction to this is the guy out of his mind. Is he that ignorant? The guy that's supposedly in charge of the efforts in Dallas, Texas, is doing this? Someone needs to educate this guy. Apparently, he didn't get the memo. He didn't get the message. I think the judge should be the first one to read the hot zone, and after you're finished with that judge, assuming you like to read, and then read the coming plague. Because Ebola is just one of many very infectious diseases that could become a plague and a pandemic. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the authorities, the people higher up, the governor, the president, they know what's going on, and they know it's airborne, and they don't want to tell you why. They don't want to panic you. Now, I'm not panicked. I'm concerned. But a big concern is our public officials are not being honest with the public. They're not telling the truth. They're not telling the truth. And what we need in situations like this is the truth. Because if you don't tell the people what's going on, they inadvertently will themselves become infected and start spreading the virus. Now, I need to say, I hope it doesn't happen, Because, ladies and gentlemen, I live in Dallas. I'm less than 5 miles from that hospital. And I come in contact, like most people, with dozens of people every day and probably hundreds every week. That's the problem. If this is an airborne virus, and I think it is, this could easily become a worldwide pandemic. And I would even say it has a head start. It's out of the box, and it's going to be very difficult to contain it. With that, I have to close the show. I went a little longer than I expected, and I'll probably have an update tomorrow. There are other things in the news, but when I heard about what this so-called judge did, shaking my head, I said, doesn't he understand how deadly this is? He has his own daughter and his wife, not to mention him. Himself and all the people he's working with. He's putting all those people at risk, as well as other people in Dallas at risk. Is this guy an idiot? Our public authorities better get smart and start leveling with the American people. The American people are demanding the truth, demanding the truth. With that, I'll close my show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.